We want to thank God and thank God
Amen.
for this time. Thank God for everyone here, for your lives. And welcome in the house of God, in the presence of God. Okay, so let's go into the word. I don't know. I was praying and the Lord gave me some content that he wants to speak through tonight. So let us go in First Chronicles. Let us go to the book of First Chronicles, chapter number 12. And verse number 32. Verse number 32, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Okay, so it talks about the segregation or the departments. This chapter talks about the segregation of the departments of the army under David. And the other tribes were placed under David to fight. Most of the things that the other tribes were doing was to fight, was as a warrior. But the tribe of the sons of Issachar had a different responsibility, and they were segregated in, or they were placed in that department because of the gift or because of the skill that they developed. And that gift was discerning. That gift was understanding of the times. Okay, listen to me. Do you believe that do you know that the Bible says that every believer is seated with Christ in heavenly places? It does not say only some of them are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, or only the servants of God, the pastors, the leaders or prophets, they are seated with Christ. It says you are seated with Christ. Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter number 2, we will come to that, with Christ in heavenly places. Do you know what is the meaning of that? That means you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That means you are seated in the third heavens. Your position is in the third heavens. That means you are, every believer has to have the ability to penetrate into the things that are being released from the third heaven. That is what it means. Every believer is being ordained to know the heart of God, to know the counsel of God. Not only the pastor, every believer is supposed to have that. And that is the very revelation. Stay with me. That is the very revelation that will bring a believer to the understanding of times and to the discernment of what is happening in the realm of the earth. If you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, that will enable you to understand times and season. Are you understanding? Okay, stay with me. We are going to look at that. We are going to look at that. We have to understand right now in the flesh, we are living in the flesh in a different realm, and God and his things and his revelation and his mysteries are in a different realm, that is not of this realm. And a believer has to be seated and has to look into that realm of God to understand the things of God, to understand the reality. Okay, now let us go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's read verse number 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Underline that. That is the realm you and me are living in the flesh. The realm is called the air realm, and the being that rules the realm, that controls the realm, is called the prince of the power of the air. So this realm carries a power which is ruled by a certain prince, which is a demonic prince. Okay, let's keep it there and let's move ahead with the scripture. So according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. KJV says in the children of disobedience. Okay. So this prince and the power of this prince, which rules this realm called the realm of the air, is now working in the people who are disobedient. All of them. Okay. Among whom also we, all also conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. In bracket, it's by grace you have been saved. And raised us up together. Where did he raise us up after we believed in Christ? Raised us up together where? And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, you see that? So, Apostle Paul is explaining that when we were not saved, we did not receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. We did not know him. At that time, the realm of the air was controlling us, was governing our lives. And what was the realm of the air doing in verse 3? The realm of the air, in the realm of the air, what we were doing? We were conducting ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And by nature, we were the children of wrath when we were unaware of Jesus Christ. When we did not know Jesus Christ, what was governing us, that prince of the power of the air was governing our life, controlling our lives, having the authority of our lives. And what was he doing through the realm of the air? The realm of the air, write it down. The realm of the air favors your flesh. And the prince of the air limits you in the realm of the air to be ignorant of the things of heaven. The realms of the air favors your flesh. It will gratify your flesh. It will satisfy your flesh. It will control you through your flesh and through your carnal mind. That's why the Bible says, in which we conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That is the carnal mind, which is the fleshy mind. So the realm that in which human beings are living, there is a power in that realm, and that power in that realm, through the control of the prince, favors the flesh of human beings. Okay? And it limits us in the understanding of the same realm, that is the realm of the air, and makes us ignorant, keeps us limited inside of it, like it has drawn a circle, and it keeps everyone inside that circle, never lets anyone to see anything that is beyond the boundary of the circle in which you are enclosed. So people who live in the realm of the air live in the gratification of flesh and are ignorant of what is enclosed in the third realm, in the third highest, in the highest realm, that is the realm of God. But the Apostle Paul is speaking here, and he says, when you are saved, you are
What has happened to you is you are actually seated in the heavenly places, that is the third heaven, with Christ Jesus. That means you have ascended to a realm, to an understanding, to a mystery that is not enclosed in the minds of the people on the earth, that is far beyond the understanding of human beings. And that is what has to happen with every believer, even believers who are saved for the first time. They got to come to the realization that when they are saved, they are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, in the third heaven. Are we understanding until now? Okay. Every believer, not only a prophet, every believer has to realize that. Why? For the purpose of discernment. If you don't have discernment, you are the greatest victim to the devil in this time and season. If you don't have discernment, for the purpose of discernment. How? For the purpose of discernment. I will tell you. Are we understanding? So, are we understanding the realm of the air? Now, I have taken sermons in which I have told you that the whole space of the earth, including the physical and the spiritual, is divided into three realms. The first realm is the realm of the air in which we live. That is the earthly realm. The second realm is the realm of spiritual warfare, is the realm of the marine world, which is the water world. Okay, hallelujah. For those of you who don't know, you may see deliverance where people say, oh, I cast out that spirit from the water. They cast out spirit from the marine spirits in during deliverance. And some of them say, oh, it came from the Atlantic Ocean. It came from the Indian Ocean. It is not coming from the physical waters that are on the face of the earth. It generated from the realm of waters that is above the realm of the air. In Genesis, let me go quickly there and come back to what we want to hear. In Genesis chapter number 1, when you read your Bible carefully, in Genesis chapter number 1, it says that in verse 3, that God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Listen to this now. Then God made the firmament and divided the water which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. So God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. It was so. What is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying there was a thick realm of water, and God made a division like a firmament, dividing the waters below it and dividing the waters above it. Then the Bible says the waters that were under the firmament, God commanded the water to be gathered in one place. So the dry land appeared on the face of the earth. That is the water that we see in the ocean, in all the oceans of the earth. But God did not do anything with the waters that were above the firmament. He did not touch that. Why? Because the devil was living in that water, which is above the heaven, which is above the realm of the air. There is a realm of water. Okay? Hallelujah. When the Bible says, when Apostle John reveals that Jesus came by the water and by the blood we understand that he took human form and he was born as a child in flesh and blood. That we understand. But how did he came by the water? He means to say there is one who came from the other side, crossed the water and came to the earth. That is the meaning of Jesus coming by the water. Okay, I'm not going into that. Are we understanding? So, the realms are divided into three realms. The first realm, that is the most, I would say, that is the realm of the air, which is the most powerful realm that influences flesh. The most influential realm over the flesh, over human beings, is the realm of the air. When you cross the realm, you will not meet God. You will meet marine spirits. You will meet snakes. You will meet the devil. You will see that is the second realm. The second realm consists of the realm of the water. Are we understanding that? It consists of a realm where spiritual warfare between the angels go on. Remember Daniel when he fasted 21 days? The angel Gabriel came and he said, "You know what, Daniel, I was delayed in my schedule because the prince of Persia." That prince of Persia was fighting this angel Gabriel in the second realm. And in the second realm is the realm of the army of the fallen angels, and that is the realm of spiritual warfare. That is the realm of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare does not goes on in the first realm. It goes on in the second realm. Do we understand that? Okay. And the second realm consists of the water realm, consists of the spiritual warfare realm where angels fight. Because if angels start to fight in the realm of the air, human beings will come to know that there is a angelic fight. But human beings are not at all aware, who are limited to the realm of the air, of what happens in the second realm. Believers don't believe that angels have fight among them. Believers don't believe in angelic encounters. They don't believe. Why? Because those kind of believers are limited to the realm of the air. In the realm of the air, those things don't happen. Those things. I will tell you what things happen in the realm of the air. But in the second heaven, the angelic fight happens in the second realm, which is above the realm of the air. The third thing that is there in the second realm, the third thing is which is there in the second realm, is the wandering land, a land which makes a person wander. You are searching for your destination, round and round, and trying to go to the gate of the third heaven, but you don't find it. It's a place. It's an empty realm where there is no spiritual warfare, no marine spirit, but it's an empty realm, a realm of darkness that you search for something, but you don't find it. You are searching and searching, but you are not. That is the second, that is the third area of the second realm. Remember, people of Israel came out of Egypt through the water. Okay, the blood meaning what happened, the massacre of the firstborn, and through the spirit, that is the breath of the nostril that blew away the waters, through the water and through the blood and through the spirit, they came out, and then they entered into a realm that is called the wilderness, and they wandered in the wilderness round and round, and then and all of them, only except for two, never reached the gate of the promised land, that is Canaan. All of them died wandering. That is the most difficult realm that comes before the gate of heaven. When hallelujah, are you understanding that? But the good news is that the blood Jesus has paved the way through the gate of death. Has paved the way for believers to enter the throne room of God. That is the good news. I have told you, when Jesus died, I don't want to go when I was talking about spiritual gates. When Jesus died, he took his blood first and broke the gate of death. Remember, in the book of Revelation, he has two keys: the gate of the keys of death, and what? Hades. How does he has the keys of death? Because he defeated the gate of death. What is the gate of death? You think the gate of death is in hell? No, the gate of death is between the second realm and the third highest realm, that is the realm of God. That is the gate of death. The gate of death looks like a veil. And that is the veil that separates human beings from the communication with the third heaven. And as per God, any person that does not have a spirit to communicate with him is that. That was the gate of death, the veil of death. That's why when he died, immediately the veil of the temple in Jerusalem was broken into two pieces. What was that? That was a manifestation of what actually happened in the temple of third heaven. The gate, the veil that separated us from communicating with God, that was broken because of our Lord and Savior Jesus. It is the power of the blood, when you believe in it and when you live by it, which will take you out from that wandering land into the throne room of God. That is what exists in the second realm. Are we understanding? Okay, hallelujah. But tonight we are looking at the realm of the air. 90% of believers are staying in the realm of the air. They don't understand the revelation of being seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Now, did you hear out the scripture that I read, Ephesians 2? Apostle Paul is saying, when we conducted ourselves under the power of the prince of the realm of the air, and in that we fulfilled our lust of the flesh and the lust of the mind, and all those things, we were the children of wrath. But now, when we are saved, we are not in that realm, nor we are controlled by that realm. We have ascended, and now where we are seated with Christ in the third heavens, in the heavenly places. Are we understanding that now? Okay, now let me come back to what I said of discernment of times and season, discernment of what is happening on the face of the earth. Now, I am kind of continuing on the note where I ended last Friday, where I was talking about lawlessness. And I was talking about lawlessness because I detected lawlessness in the air. Why did I detect lawlessness in the air? Something, I felt a force in the air that was trying to force it upon me, making me believe that the evil is good and the good is evil. Forcing it on me. And I came to the detection that it is lawlessness because I had the understanding and I knew my position of what I have in the third heaven. Stay with me. Listen to me very carefully. If someone comes to me and sells me a diamond, someone comes to me, sells me a piece of diamond that is looking real, that is exactly looking real, okay, but it's fake, and I will buy the diamond because it looks real, and I will keep the diamond for years thinking that I bought the real diamond, but never knew that it was a fake diamond. But if I am an expert of diamond, and if I have seen the real diamond, tested the real diamond, know the properties and the characteristics of and every quality of a real diamond, if I know the real diamond, and in that case, someone brings me that fake diamond, what will happen is I will not buy that fake diamond. Instead, I will know it's a fake diamond because I have seen the real one. And then what I will do is I will reject the fake diamond. I will discern that it's a fake diamond. I will expose it. I will reject it, the fake diamond. That is, listen to me. That is what, people of God, are you here listening? Other than people who are on the screen? Say amen. Okay? Don't when you sit in a meeting, don't amen. Make your mind wander. Okay? Listen, God, the King of Kings is speaking, and you lose it. If you lose it, then you will never get it back. That is a moment where the Holy Spirit works. And people sometimes are so distracted here, there, and all those things that you lose that moment, you lose the moment. So that's why you have to be attentive. So I am able to reject that diamond because I know the qualities of the real diamond. You will be able to detect and reject lawlessness in that goes on in the realm of the air when you are seated in the realm of God in the third heaven. Because once you know the reality, you will know that what comes to you from the realm of the air is fake. And then you will be able to discern between the fake because you know the real one. A person will be able to discern because the person sits in the heavenly places with Christ and knows the things of heaven and understands the reality. Christians are deceived left, right, and center. Every spell released in the realm of the air is so easily deceiving Christian because no one sits with Christ in the heavenly places. And since you don't know the real one, you are easily deceived. What comes to you, the fake one, you accept as the real one because there is no difference evaluation you are able to make between the real and the fake because you don't know the real because you have not entered into the gates of heaven any time in your life and neither knew the revelation that you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places because of which when a fake thing comes you know oh this is fake because I have seen the real one. This thing is fake because I have heard the real thing. And then because of that you are able to discern it, expose it and reject it, and you are able to stay your ground continuing in the word of the Lord. Oh God, hallelujah. Are we understanding that Christianity is not a tradition, it's not a theory, it's a reality that you are supposed to live in, and you will be able to live in that reality when you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. When you are, everyone say, I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places.
I am seated with Christ.
I am seated with Christ.
Amen.
I am seated in
heavenly places. Amen. So, Ephesians.
I am seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Amen.
I am seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Amen. So, Ephesians 2. Apostle Paul is talking about the heavenly place and is talking about the realm of the air. If you live in the realm of the air, you are deceived left, right, and center. Everything that comes to you through the realm of the air, that is true. This is true. What that pastor is speaking is true because you don't know the reality. You don't know the reality. Open John chapter number 3. Open John chapter number 3. And see what Jesus is saying there. John chapter number 3, verse number 9 onwards. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. That means we are a witness of the realm of the air. See what he says afterwards. And you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who has come down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. You see that Nicodemus is not able to understand a born again experience that Jesus was telling him. Yeah, Jesus was teaching him about the born again experience of being born by the Spirit. And Jesus rebuked him. He said, you are the teacher of the law. You teach people, you teach in the synagogue, and you don't understand what I am speaking to you. If you don't understand the things of the earth, how will you understand if I start speaking the things of the third heaven. There are differences of revelations. Jesus, listen to me. Jesus in his ministry did not spoke everything that he was supposed to speak. But that content was taken and Jesus gave it to the Holy Spirit to teach it to people. Because his ministry was a starter ministry where people lacked understanding. Even the most of the things he told to the disciples. You know, sometimes Jesus is like, his level is of the third heaven. His revelations is of the third heaven. But because of the understanding of people, he brings himself low to their level and to their understanding and starts to speak to people as per their understanding. Are we understanding that? Mm-hmm. But the things that he was not able to release, the things of heaven, he gave that content to the Holy Spirit. That's why he says, I will go, but the Holy Spirit, who will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I told you. That means you receive a word from the Lord, and the understanding with that word that you received is of earthly level. But if you sit with the Holy Spirit and spend time with him, he will make you understand the depth. The depth is actually the ascension, the reality of the scripture and the deep revelation of the word that you heard 1 year back. Now it comes to you and you understand it deeply. When some people understand the word when they fall into the pit. Or when, you know, there are numerous circumstances where I have told something to people, taking from the third heaven, brought it from the third heaven, told it to people. And what this brother is saying, nonsense. What is he saying? Oh, he's saying something. Oh, I don't believe. In their hearts, they said, not to me. They did not do it. But after 1 year, they realized what he was saying was true. What he was teaching was true. I told a woman something 2 years back about the marriage and about the marriage and some things about the marriage and all those things. And the woman was least interested. I said, okay, maybe when you will grow, you will understand. And then the woman started to listen to the YouTube. YouTube sermons, and she used to message me and all those things. And recently, after getting encouraged, and she was fasting, praying, seeking the Lord, listening to the sermons and all those things, after many years, when she was fasting and praying, and she tapped into the things of heaven. And then she sent me a message of what I told her 2 years back. She saw it herself because she tapped into the reality. And what you said 2 years back, I ignored, but now I know. What you were saying is something that you brought from God. Oh God, oh God, oh Lord. God has already given you the solution and direction for every problem, but you are not seated with Christ. And that's why you cannot discern. Remember, one of the job of the priest was to teach between the holy and the unholy. Yes. That is what the Old Testament says. My priests are not teaching my people, says the Lord, to differentiate between the holy and the unholy. Unholy is what? The things of the realm of the air, and holy is of the things that are there in the third heaven. And when we teach the difference, we can expose darkness. Are we understanding now? Okay. That is the reason every believer has to realize their position in Christ. And their position in Christ is to be seated with Christ in the third heaven. If you don't know the things of heaven, like Nicodemus, he was teaching the Bible in the synagogue. But Jesus is saying, you are the teacher of the law. And you don't understand when I tell you about surface level revelation. How will you ever know if I tell you about the things of heaven? will you know? How will you comprehend? If I teach you about what is the reality that is in heaven. Okay? Hallelujah. That is why you will see Christians attending prayer meetings, teaching seminars, conferences, this and that. They are listening to deep revelation, but there is no results in their life. Why? Because they are living in the realm of the air. They don't realize it's not only the pastor who is teaching revelation. I am supposed to arise to go to be seated with God in the heavenly places, that I may develop a spiritual skill which is called discernment when I know the reality of heaven. Hallelujah. Are we understanding until now? Okay, so as a Christian, do you know your job is to expose darkness? Ephesians chapter number 5. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 5. And let's read. Let's read from verse number 6 onwards. Verse number 6 onwards. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. I told you who are the sons of disobedience. You will never be able to obey God if you live in the realm of the air. If you live, move, and have your being in the realm of the air and not in Christ. Yes, where is Christ? Christ is at the right hand of God. Even the Bible talks about, do not focus on the things of the earth, but focus on the heavenly things where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So who are the sons of disobedience? The unbeliever who did not accept Christ, brother, they are the son. No, your definition is wrong. The definition of the sons of disobedience, including Christians who live in the realm of the air, who never entered the gate of heaven, who never fasted or even decided to spend at least 1 hour with the Lord ever. And such people never ascend into their position and realize what position that they carry with Christ. Those, including Christians, are sons of disobedience. You see, it is impossible to obey God if you don't know the truth. And what is the truth? The reality, the revelation, the mysteries hidden in the realms of God, in the realm of God. Are we understanding? So those are the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. It says, oh God. Hallelujah. You know, I think is Christians don't take the Bible seriously. Because Bible is so clear about something. It says, don't be partakers with the sons of disobedience. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, another thing. The third heaven is also the realm of light. The true realm of light. Okay, let me go at that from there. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. How will you expose darkness if you don't even know that darkness is darkness? Because lawlessness, what it will do is, what is already lawlessness doing is, it is making the light darkness and the darkness light. You don't even know that the darkness is darkness. If you don't know darkness is darkness, how will you expose darkness then? How will you know that darkness is darkness when you have entered light? Are we understanding the scripture now? Ephesians chapter number 2. that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That is why we have escaped the limitation that the realm and the prince of the air has set upon us. Okay? And nothing, so I cannot be deceived. It is impossible for me, the elect of God, to be deceived because I can discern. Why I can discern? Because I have ascended to reality. And now I don't accept the fake as real. I don't accept darkness as light. I don't accept evil as good. Because I know that it's evil. I know it's darkness. I reject it and then I expose it. And that is how the word of God works through a earthen vessel. I mean to say through a human being. That if you talk about ministry, that is ministry where you continue to expose darkness and bring the differentiation as the priesthood of God and tell people the difference between the evil and good, the difference between the holy and unholy. The confusion in Christianity today is Christians are not able to discern. They take holy for unholy and unholy for holy. They take darkness for light and light for darkness. Everything is reversed. Why? Because lawlessness is in the air. The reversal doctrine is in place right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know the pastor whom I listen. There is one pastor I listen, and I listen to my pastor. He's from Nigeria, Makodi. His name is Apostle Arome. And that man knows the things of heaven, and he preaches the truth in this time and season. He brings the deep things of God. And in one of his sermons, he was talking about what is happening in the body of Christ. And he spoke saying one of the pastors that he used to minister for and minister for his meetings and minister for his church and whatever ministry, that pastor brought a man of God to minister on his pulpit. A so-called man of God he brought to minister on his pulpit. Since this pastor was under the authority of this apostle, the apostle discerned and told the pastor, this man you are bringing to do a meeting for you, don't you know that the man lives in immorality? You know what the pastor said? I very well know that the man lives in immorality, but let him minister. Afterwards, God will forgive him because his gifts are powerful and people come because of his gifts. So even though he lives in immorality, that's not an issue for me, apostle. Let him minister on my pulpit. You know what the apostle told the pastor? The apostle told the pastor today, or rather right now, the Lord has taken away your position from you. It will not manifest now. It will manifest after some years. But you have lost your position. And I will never come back to associate with you. Because I know you are in lawlessness now. I will never come back to associate with you. Because I know you are in lawlessness. And he said, you know, I will never go, however convincing or whoever comes back with the news, this and that, oh, you know, we need to love everyone and all those things. But he said, I will not go back. Unless at the condition that Jesus himself comes and tells me that this pastor has repented, and then I will associate on that basis. Otherwise, I will not go to collaborate because lawlessness entered. And you know, when he said this thing, people from all over the world, believe me or not, Christians from all over the world started to call this apostle wicked and merciless for doing this. They started to call, you know what, we all sin and we should give chances and this and that, and how this man is so wicked and he does not have mercy on people, this and that. The lawlessness is already at work. They consider good for evil and evil for good. Are you listening to me, people of God? Evil for good and good for evil. People, Christians are already turning it around. The Christians who live in the realm of the air turn it around. This is the platform from where I am preaching. And I will not allow an adulterer whom I know he sleeps with women to come here on my platform that the Lord gave me to preach, to make it unholy. How will you do that? But people are doing it. You know why? They are the victim. They never ever entered into the reality of heaven. They never ever saw Christ seated in his glory. They never ever saw him. If you have encountered Jesus, you will never speak like that. If you have encountered Jesus really, saw him sitting in his glory. The apostles were apostles of the Bible. I'm not talking about the modern day apostles. The modern day apostles have lost their way. That we see, the prophets, most of them, not everyone, but few of them are still connected to heaven. But the apostles were apostles because each one of them, they say, John said that we teach and we speak of the things that we have handled by our own hands. We have witnessed by our own eyes the things of the word of life. That means they have constant visitation, or they are constantly staying and are seated in the third heaven. That's why they are. That is, if you don't, you know, if you might have been taught by teaching seminars that the apostolic ministry and anointing is about performing signs, wonders, miracles. That is a part of the ministry, but the primary ministry of the apostles is to bring a division between the holy and the unholy, between the false and the fake and the real. And they are able to do that because apostles are the stewards of mysteries that are enclosed in heaven where God sits. That is what Apostle Paul said. I am the steward of mysteries. Where are the mysteries? Mysteries are where Christ is seated, in that place, the reality. Are we understanding? So not every believer is been placed to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. And tonight, I want you to realize your position. And if you have never, ever ascended to that position, start to seek God to enter that position that you may know the truth. And then the truth will set you free. Not only the truth will set you free, it will help you to expose darkness. It will help you to make a discernment between the right and the wrong, between the good and the evil, because the things will be, things are already thrown at believers from lawlessness, from the realm of the air. And if anyone is not there to teach people this, or anyone who does not is seated in the heavenly realm, they will take the lie for the truth, the darkness for the light, the evil for the good. Lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will grow cold, says Jesus. Why the love of many? Because they have no discernment. Okay. Are we understanding until now? Okay, let me take you to a scripture. Let me take you to a scripture and then explain you what is the content of the realm of the air. What are the things and the content through which the prince of the power of the air operates. So I told you what is in the first heaven, the second heaven. The first heaven is the realm of the air. What is the content there? Okay, before that, let me take you to the book of First Kings, chapter number 22. First Kings, chapter number 22. And can someone read it for me? 1 Kings chapter number 22. Read from verse number 5. Read from verse number 5 to verse number.
Jehoshaphat.
Verse number 23. Read till verse number 23. Yeah.
Verse number 22.
5 to 23.
23. All right. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today, Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into your hand, into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is a man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Judah sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenaiah, made him horns of iron. And he said, thus said the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king. With one mouth let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord says unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said to Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into your hand, into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so.
25:23, the next verse.
Okay. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoke evil concerning thee.
Amen. Do you see that? Okay, so the scripture is so revelatory of what the incident that happened in the kingdom of Ahab. During the kingdom of Ahab, during the rule of Ahab. And you see what is, how many prophets were prophesying a false prophecy? 400 of them. And how many of them knew the truth? One. So what is the ratio of false to of evil to good? The ratio is 400 is to one. Only one was
knew what was going on there. The Bible so clearly says, where was Prophet Micaiah, who was the one who knew the reality? He was there in the throne room of God. And the rest 400 prophets were telling Ahab, Ahab, go ahead, God has given you the victory. You shall break the yoke of the enemy over you and Israel. You have the victory, you have the victory. But Micaiah came and told that I saw the shepherd of Israel killed and the sheep of Israel scattered. And God told them, go back to your houses. And then what Ahab says, Jehoshaphat, I told you that this prophet will not speak good but evil. So the good that he brought, Ahab considered evil. The good that he brought, even the other prophets ridiculed him. When you read the whole chapter, we don't have time. The other 400 prophets, the what you call, the leader of those prophets who is mentioned there, Zedekiah, that guy, ridiculed. That is what is happening in the world. Those who are the preachers of the truth, who bring the reality and expose darkness, the people of lawlessness persecute the children of light. The people, the children of lawlessness persecute the children of God. Children of God, I mean to say, the children who are having access, who have been seated with God in the second heaven. Now, how come these people, now this 400 prophet, imagine the audacity they have. They are prophesying not only just words, but they have faith in what they are saying. They are convicted about what they are saying. That is how a lie can come into a person, bringing conviction in that person's heart that it is a truth and it is going to happen. Oh God, are we understanding? Many Christians prophesy, the good will come, things will happen, God will, good days will come in Jesus' name, and all those things, I will get the breakthrough. But if they are living in the realm of the air, they are convicted not by the truth, they are convicted by the lie. And what faith they have, the faith is not on the word that came from heaven. The faith is on the word that is a manipulation from the realm of the air. They are convicted. Because people who have drank of the wine of the realm of the air, that wine has intoxicated them to believe it is the best. Okay. Are we understanding? Okay. One moment. Let me give you a scripture. Luke 5:39. Open Luke 5:39. Luke 5:39. It says, and no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. So people who drink the old wine, they will not drink of the new. They will reject the new. Why? Because the Bible says, they say the old is good. The old is better. Why? The intoxication has intoxicated them, that they are blinded from the truth now, and they believe in a lie. They believe that good days are coming. They believe their prosperity. They believe this. They don't want to. You know, someone recommended a girl to me, and the girl wanted to pray and all those things. But when she called me, she started to pray. Did not give me time. And then I did not have time. And then I had to stop her and cut her off. And I started to pray. And when I started to pray, I started to pray in the spirit of the things of God. And I started to pray about a spirit. I saw a big spirit like a chimpanzee that was holding her destiny. And I started to pray as I pray. And the girl stopped me. And the girl started to cancel my prayers. She started to say, oh, you know what? No, I cancel your prayer. No spirit hold me. No attack will come against me. No, this will do to me. I understood that the girl is an agent of lawlessness. I told her, you know what? Politely and with love, I want to tell you, if you are going to cancel the prayers I do, which are from the Spirit of God, I am not going to have any contact or communication with you hereafter. And I want to disconnect the call. Are you understanding? I know Christians, listen to me, people of God. Anything, you know what? There is an attack that we need to cancel. No. I will have no attacks in Jesus' name. I am having a good life in Jesus' name. I will have nothing bad will happen to me in Jesus' name. They are living in an imaginary world. That is what the prophets were doing. When this man came and prophesied that king will die if he goes to battle, he should not go. The prophets, they were aggravated. And the Zedekiah said to Micaiah, from where did the Spirit of God go from me to speak to you? You are not a prophet. I am a prophet. That is, hallelujah. That is what will happen. This, they are controlled by the deception, by the intoxication of the realm of the air. And the realm of the air has kept them deceived, staying with demons where if you speak against their demons, they will not like you. They will cancel the prayers that you do for them. I don't know if you have met such people, but I have the privilege to come in contact with such kind of breeds. It's a privilege to know it, that these people exist in Christianity. Okay, are you understanding that? That is what I am saying. Micaiah was able to discern a prophecy that came from 400 prophets. Ask yourself a question. If you were in the place of Micaiah, how would have you would have evaluated the situation? Most of the Christians would have evaluated, you know what, brother, 400 prophets are speaking the same thing. That means God has confirmed through 400 people. This is the truth. If you have discerned like that, you are also a victim like them. But Micaiah did not discern. 400 people speaking that, but I have the access to the mystery of God. I am seated with God in the heavenly places. And first of all, he knew the truth and he had the courage to speak the truth. Many of the people know the truth, but the numbers goes down when it's time for you to speak the truth. Because you are insecure. People will go out from my church and join another church. People will not listen to me and listen to another pastor if I speak the truth. People will stop giving me tithes offering if I speak the truth. People will not love me. I will not have a big ministry. So people have insecurities. The time comes to speak the truth. That is where the level of the bond servant ministry comes with God. A bond servant is the one who cannot speak what he wants, but he has to speak what the Lord wants to speak. That is, Jeremiah was a bond servant. Paul was a bond servant. And all these people call themselves bond servant because there is a revelation of a bond servant where you want to, I want to keep people and keep them happy. I want to keep Sister Ruth happy, tell her good things. But no, I cannot. I have to speak the truth to her and tell her what God says and not to, in order to please her and keep her happy. I have to tell her the truth because I am a bond servant unto Christ. Cannot speak of my own. And oh God, are we understanding people? Luke chapter number 5:39, that what I read, it says someone who has drank the old wine will never desire for the new, will not desire for the new. He will say the old is better. Let me stay with the old one. Aha, hallelujah. You know what? People who are sitting here, I'm telling you, major, all the Christians, if you accepted Jesus, God has the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and every providence of God has ushered you in the newness of God. But people don't want to step into the newness of God. I have seen people whom God wants to make them step, but they say, you know what, my old life is comfortable where I go to the church for 1 hour, listen to the pastor and sit at my home and it's convenient. I don't want to have demons. I don't want to cross limits. I want to be in the old. I don't want to step into the new. Okay, that's a different topic. But let's go and let's see the content of the realm of the air. What does the realm of the air consist? And I want you to, if you have a pen and a paper, and everyone should have a pen and a diary when you are in this meeting, Write it down. The realm of the air, what it contains. How is the prince of the realm of the air able to rule over people? Okay? Deceive those people big time. How? What does it contains? First, it contains voices and influences of human beings. It contains voices. If you live in the realm of the air and haven't stepped into the reality of God, you will be highly influenced by what your husband is saying, by what your wife is saying, what your pastor is saying, what the brothers and sisters in the church are highly influenced, because that is what the realm of the air contains. This realm contains the voice and the influence of other human beings. It contains, that is the first thing it contains. Second, what it is a part of technology. It contains sound signals that are electronic waves, electronic signals emitted by technology, that is media. Do you know, if you know physics, if you were in science stream and you have studied physics, you know these things, right? Like electromagnetic waves. You know about the sound waves. Now these electromagnetic waves and sound waves, a human eye cannot see. It is in the realm of the air. Are you understanding that? These even when we talk on the phone, how does the signal, there are signals, there are electromagnetic waves through the towers that are around us that send signals. That is what the realm of the air consists. And the devil is working through that. You know, the 5G and all those things, there are signals that are released to manipulate human beings. You know, technology can be used to the harm of human beings, can be used to against your mind, can be used against who you are. When you keep your mobile phone, some say you keep the Wi-Fi on near your head, it can build up cancer. Why? Because it consists of waves. It consists of all those signals. Okay? And the 5G waves and all those things, I cannot go into those things, but it is used. That is the second thing that the realm of the air consists. The next thing it consists is spells from earthly demonic altars and satanic rituals. The realm of the air contains spells. It contains spells. I have taught a lot about demonic altars. When a priest, you don't even know the person's next to you, you think he, she is a Christian. You don't even know that person is a witch if you can't access the third heaven. You don't even know. I'm telling you. And serving at a demonic altar, and you don't even know the person picked up your hair from the door of your house, or picked up your nail and taking it to the demonic altar. And that demonic altar has, you have been having headaches and depression from 1 month, and you don't know from where it is coming. It is coming from something called as a spell, from where they are serving at the altar, and that is traveling through the realm of the air. And since you are a resident of the realm of the air, it is affecting you. Since you can't ascend into the heavenly places where you have to be seated with Christ Jesus. Are we understanding that? That is the realm of the air consists of all the spells. Okay? Listen to me. 2024 is coming. 2024 is coming. The calendar years are ending. 2024 is coming. And you know what? I have been praying, and I want to re-establish the purity of the doctrine of the Word of God through the responsibility and the ministry God gave me, through whatever influence I have. So I want to do that, and I don't have any predictions whatsoever that the year 2024 will be a blessing for you or whatever, because it's not the biblical way of getting into a year. So I am not going to make any kind of predictions, though I have the prophetic anointing, but I'm not going to make any kind of prediction of what the year is for you and what kind of breakthrough, because it's like horoscope. That is not how the Spirit of God operates. Bible does not has the, if God wants to work, he will not wait for the calendar year 2024. He can work in the mid-year also. So what I am trying to say is, the calendar that we have on earth and the calendar that is in heaven, the calendar that is in heaven does not follow January, February, March, April, and God will, this year was this and this year will be that. God does not follow calendar years. That is what I want to say. Okay, God does not. If God wants to do something, he can do it in any month. If God has to start a season, he will not wait for 1st Jan 2024, as many people believe. I want to break that kind of manipulative down. He will not start, you know what, 2024 is coming from 1st Jan. It will be a year of your breakthrough. Just receive it. That's not God. God can start it off from, what is today, 10 December for you, 11th for me. He can start it off from 14 December. Why he has to wait for a new year to start it off? So, any which ways, maybe I will take that sermon in the year-end service, in the special service. But he does not follow calendar years. Yes, he does not follow. But what I want to say is, the devil has set up a calendar. He has set up a calendar. For example, things happen suddenly on the face of the earth and people are unaware of it. Many of the major incidents like the 9/11 and this and that. Do you know, you might know these things, like on the Simpson cartoons, it was already predicted. You know that, right? It was already predicted through the Simpson cartoon, and many from India also follow Simpson cartoons to know the prophecy, and they think it's prophecy. It's not prophecy. It's pre-programmed. Simpsons and all the media is pre-programmed. What is there? The spells through the realm of the air. The technology being used through the realm of the air. What does that mean is, if 9/11 was supposed to happen that time, 20 years back, the devil already had planned it on the calendar that it will happen on this day. And then they start to program the mind of people through the realm of the air. If they want the multitude to accept gay marriages and lesbian marriages and transgenderism, and also something will come now called transhumanism. It's already come in England. I see robots sitting in the coffee shop and all. And all those things, it's already come. If they want to, they are not doing it today. They had been doing it in the 2007 movies, 2006 movies. What are those? Those are electronic spells. They had been doing it. And you say, these movies, the director of the movie is a prophet. He is not at all a prophet. Mm-hmm. A movie was released in India. A movie was released in India, if you know. I don't watch movies, but the Lord led me to read the article of what the movie is about. And when I read it, I was able to decode the hidden message of the theme and the story of the movie is about Lucifer and God and Jesus. And in the movie, indirectly, that they are showing that, you know what, it's a story of a father and son. Okay, the hero is the son and the hero has a father. And the father does not favor the son, though the son loves the father. And the father removes the son out of the house, though the son still loves the father and keeps another person with him and all those things. But the son continues to help the father and this and that. And the son, someone attacks the father, the son saves the father by killing those person and all those things. What they are trying to show is Lucifer was illegally and with injustice, he was casted out by the father. But Lucifer is the real son and Jesus is not. There are hidden messages, spells that are released through the air in the movies that you see. You dance your way to the theater to see movies. And I am telling you, Christians don't even know they are hypnotized by lawlessness. I don't watch those movies. Rather, I expose it. I decode it of what is happening. I remember I saw a Hollywood movie called Men in Black. There are hidden messages in that movie. When I was not a Christian, I had seen it. I remember when I was a kid, I used to see Harry Potter. There are hidden messages. And now when I'm in the spirit, I know what were they doing to the children? What were they doing to the multitude? Like Men in Black, they were literally showing you that there are reptilians living in the flesh. That is the seed of Satan, what I was preaching last few weeks. What are those things? How could they predict something that is happening? They have pre-programmed and put it on the dates. And before that comes to manifestation, there is a schedule where they will release spells through what? Through the realm of the air. They will release spells. They will release spells. Program the minds of people. What I was talking last Friday, the spirit of lawlessness, by persistence, by manifestation of results, by the reversal doctrine, they release spells. What? Through what? Through the realm of the air. The realm of the air consists spells. These are spells. Okay? If 15 December, the devil has created that date for around half population of the world to accept gay and lesbian marriages, before that, spells related to the same will be released to keep programming. And on that day, the victims will be those who live in the realm of the air. Who, hallelujah. People of God, are you understanding what I'm teaching you? Okay. Spells. The third thing is spells. Spells that exist in the realms of the air. The fourth thing is ambition and visions of the flesh to accomplish something of the world and in the world. Yeah. You know, when your children grow up, pray for your children that they may have an encounter with Jesus in his glory. If they don't have an encounter, if they don't realize that they are seated with Christ in heavenly places, they will have an ambition that arose from the agenda of the realm of the air. I know it's good to become a biological doctor or whatever, this and that and this and that, but those ambitions that people want to become comes through the realm of the air. You know, I had an ambition to become the naval engineer, because that ambition was inculcated in me through the realm of the air. Having an ambition to accomplish something in the world, to earn money and to become rich and all those things. But you know what? Where I am, I want to, but with evidence, thank God that what I would not have been there, I am here when I took the root of God. It's not that God will. Some people think if I take the will of God, I have to stay in need and I have to depend on him and it's very difficult. No. It's the most beautiful way to take up in your life. If you take the way of God, any which ways, the ambitions come from the realm of the air. Now, if you take all this content, these are the content of the realm of the air. Are we understanding? And the Bible says, the spirit of disobedience, the spirit that works in the sons of disobedience, the prince of the power of the air. This is the realm of the air. And if you are not seated with Christ tonight, if you don't realize your position where you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, you are victim of everything that is released in the realm of the air, because everything that you see and you hear from the realm of the air, let me tell you, let me make a statement that it's fake. It's a lie. And the truth lies with God. The truth lies in the glory of God. If you can tap into his realms, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free and give you the ability to expose and to reject the lies. We need to pray. If you know, you can make a difference tonight by becoming seated with Christ in the heavenly places. You can make a difference in this world, because you will become an agent of God on the face of the earth, who is able to, by the wisdom and revelation that you have received from there, you will be able to save people's life by exposing and discerning and drawing a line between the good and evil and telling them the truth. For your information, the gospel is not only Jesus loves you, he died for you, he loves you. That is not the gospel. The gospel is the whole counsel of God. Okay? Apostle Paul says, I strive, I labor to present every man perfect before Christ. I labor towards that. Not only by preaching the gospel and leaving people. Oh, you know what? I went to this place, 10,000 souls were saved. 20,000 souls were saved. They are not saved. They are introduced in the way of salvation. Now they need to be nourished. They need to be transformed. They need to be detached from the realm of the air and need to be pruned so that they are ready for the ascension with Jesus when he comes back, to go to heaven, to present every man perfect before Christ, for which I labor, says Apostle Paul. And you can make a difference if you can tonight make a decision to tap into the reality of heaven, to see Christ not in a picture, not in imagination, not in a movie, but in his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then when I was ending the sermon, okay, let me end here. I have a few verses, but let me skip that. Let me end here. A song came to my mind, a song that I never heard, but it came to me and I looked up on the internet. And that song said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Hallelujah. When you really look to Jesus in his reality, John saw that. It was not the Jesus who walked with him on the earth. It was the Jesus who had hair as white as wool, whose eyes were like flames of fire. And something like a sword came from his mouth. And he saw that Jesus in his glory. If you see Jesus in his glory, if you encounter Jesus, your life will change. It will be impossible for you to be deceived if you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you for this time. Hallelujah. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. I pray every person who is hearing the word, Lord, break the hold of the enemy and lawlessness over their lives in Jesus' name. If there is anything of the darkness and of evil which they consider as good and which they follow it thinking it's light, I pray tonight it's exposed. I pray tonight it's exposed and eradicate, uproot it from their life by the power of the sword that is released from my mouth. Cut it off, uproot it in the name of Jesus. Let the word, Lord, come to your people tonight. It's already come to your people in all its glory, convicting, exposing the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Let your word pierce in the areas where nothing was able to pierce and expose. Let it pierce in our heart and Lord, cleansing us. Lord, far above all, I pray that your people, Lord, be seated, will realize that they have to be seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Let them ascend tonight that they may interpret, O Lord, and know the reality of heaven. That, Lord, Christianity will not just be a tradition and religion and daily practice of sitting in the meeting, but they will live in the glory of God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let your, Lord, thank you that you are releasing your glory upon people, your understanding, your wisdom, and reviving them and bringing them into the reality of what you want to speak to them and the reality of your written word, the Bible. Bring them in the reality in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That they will be those priests who will be able to teach the difference between the holy and the unholy. And that is how they will be able to make a difference in the world. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when you do charity and all those things which are good, but you are able to make a temporary difference. But when you become the person who is able to discern and expose, you make an eternal difference. Hallelujah. Oh, it is more than feeding someone. It is sending a person to heaven, opening the gates for a person. Oh, hallelujah. And I pray, I want to encourage each of you tonight that you can make that difference tonight when you tap into the reality of heaven. Hallelujah. And be a mouthpiece of God. Hallelujah. Say to people and preach the word in season and out of season. Do the work of the evangelist and the Holy Spirit will do the work. The Holy Spirit will do the work. Gone are the times where the gospel was preached like Jesus loves you. Preach the truth. Preach the reality of heaven like Jesus preached. He taught with authority. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. May God put words in your mouth tonight. May God put the wisdom. Hallelujah. Even as you are realizing your position. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we want to thank you. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.